The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Sean Kelly, who is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Cyber Chat with Sean Kelly, former CISO at EPA and former deputy CIO at Veterans Affairs on Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network. Cyber Chat, where government leaders come to discuss the hottest cyber topics affecting us today. Now your host, Sean Kelly.
Today we're going to be talking to Mr. Steve Graywall, federal CTO at Cohesity and sits on the advisory board of Exabeam. Mr. Steve Graywall is also the former deputy CIO at GSA and the CIO at the Department of Education. So Steve, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
Steve, what have you been up to since you left the federal government?
Yeah, so I left federal service back in February, and I joined a Silicon Valley tech company by the name of Cohesity as their federal CTO. But in addition to that, given my passion for cyber, I was also a former CISO for 3+ years in government, understand some of the cyber challenges, was involved firsthand with implementation policy and the whole nine yards. So I also joined the board for Exabeam. And Exabeam is in the security intelligence space.
Outstanding. So let's jump into that. What do you see? You know, you're a government, now you're outside, you're sending advisory boards. What do you see as the biggest security challenges in government agencies for solution providers?
Yeah, so I think a few things. For solution providers in general, I think it's there's a learning curve around the compliance frameworks. You know, now being on the other side, I certainly heard it given the industry focus at GSA. There's a lot of acronym-heavy policies. There's a lot of compliance-related areas. And I think solution providers, even that are upcoming, that have emerging technologies that can really help the federal government, struggle with how do you actually onboard and get started from a compliance element. So that I would say that's probably the biggest challenge as a solution service provider, whether you're a product company or you want to do business with the federal space.
Well, let's talk about that, because you're on Silicon Valley. It's a Silicon Valley-based company. It's not a traditional Beltway company,
Yep. Right?
And so obviously when they invest in someone like you, they're looking to get into the federal space.
Yes.
So talk a little bit more about what you see the challenges, because there's hopefully a lot of people that are listening that are trying to figure out how to crack the nut on getting into the federal business.
Yes.
How does a Silicon Valley or any company really start looking at federal business? What do you look at, like, the first few steps?
Yeah, so I would say pretty much first and foremost, the company has to make an honest decision strategically and directionally whether or not they want to do business with the government, right? But if the answer is yes, of course, I think there's a variety of compliance elements and certification areas that have to be addressed. And from a company perspective, given they're very financially driven in early stages, those are investments where the ROI is a multi-year ROI.
Agreed.
Right? So I think the challenge becomes for smaller companies that have limited spend and have competing priorities, they have to kind of figure out if they're going to spend X in a compliance area, for example, I'll just give you a couple examples, right? Cyber hardening, of course, is a key focus in government. You have a variety of secure configuration baseline standards like the STIG process or CIS benchmarks, right? That can be an elaborate kind of exercise to go through your product, benchmark it, harden it, cost money, right? ATOs, FISMA compliance, right? All of those control assessments, not only the documentation, but then the corresponding product changes. There's quite a bit there. And it's not only a one-time process, it's a continuous process.
It is. And so let me ask you, so a new company,
yep,
no federal presence, how do they get in? Is it, do they, you know, because it's great things to have a great solution. There's many awesome solutions that never see the federal space.
Yes.
Right? Just, it can't crack the nut.
Yes.
So, but part of getting into the federal space, which I'm sure you're dealing with right now, is the acquisition vehicle to even do business, right?
Yes.
If you're not on the vehicle. So how does a Silicon Valley company start to tackle that problem?
Yeah, I would say if you're early stage, I would say the alliance and the ecosystem pieces are very, very relevant. As we know, being in the Beltway, there are very established companies that do business with the government. The large SIs and the FSIs are a good example. So I would say, you know, early on, given the procurement cycles, given how you have to, you know, check all those boxes and meet all those terms, getting your foot in the door, I would say partnership with an established player is the most effective path.
Okay. No, I like that. So let's jump into some cloud stuff. I think that is one topic that you and I discussed we wanted to get into. So how do government organizations use security architecture in either a hybrid, or a multi-cloud environment?
Yeah, so it's interesting. I think, cloud-first policy was introduced under the Obama administration in 2009, right? The 25-point IT reform plan really pushed cloud. Well-intentioned, but I think a lot of the security elements of cloud were underdeveloped. Fast forward, here we are, you know, nearly 10 years later, and we're seeing more adoption. But I think the given that we're now in a perimeter-less world, right? Back in the day, you could, outside the firewall, inside the firewall, trusted versus untrusted. You had a lot of physical perimeter-based security. Now, given the proliferation of cloud, SaaS, PaaS, right, it's really more about a software-defined perimeter. So it's no longer protecting the physical boundaries, it's protecting the logical boundaries. So, you know, now we're moving to kind of shifting to software-defined perimeter, or I like to call it credential boundaries. Right. If you look at a lot of cyber attacks, always the common theme is credentials. So I think when you're looking about thinking about your enterprise security architecture, you're thinking about proliferation, you're thinking about fragmentation, you're thinking about all these sources of data, transactions growing, right? You really need solutions that can scale and from a threat landscape perspective cover all your on-prem assets and your off-prem assets. So it's those scalable solutions and technologies. And quite honestly, some of the even the federal programs that were, again, well-intentioned, but were largely designed for on-prem, CDM being an example. Mm-hmm. So even TIC, MTIPS, a lot of those mandates and programs that are Fed-wide are now being revisited from a reference architecture perspective to say, okay, given that we know we're really kind of moving to a multi-hybrid cloud world in the future, it's not going to be an all or nothing. The world is going to be you have efficient on-prem services, you leverage the cloud on your own terms, but you basically are on the hook and accountable for all of those.
Yes. So there's the thing, the last part. You're on the hook for all of those, right? And so the federal government workforce and just as a whole, the federal government is risk averse.
Yes.
So you start to use words like you're on the hook for all of that, yet I control none of that I only control a piece of that. I think that's where we get some concern about going to the cloud, right? And how I can do it better, right? And so talk about that perimeter again. I mean, you touched on it. Can we go a little deeper?
Yeah, of course. So I think a few things to that point, right? As you're thinking about the ConOps, the concept of operations of adopting a cloud service, I think you have to identify the roles and responsibilities, right? What is the CSP, the cloud service provider, on the hook for versus the customer? Right? What are those services? What are those boundaries? Right? How does that actually operate? Who's consuming? Who's sending the information? What are the push and pull relationships? God forbid there's incidents. Who's actually doing the detection? Who's doing the response? Furthermore, I think even if you're leveraging a cloud provider, even for mail, simple workloads like mail and collaboration, a few things. As far as going back to your question about enterprise security architecture, ideally, if you have an enterprise security operations center, you kind of have a mothership organization that keeps an eye on all your assets, you want to then be able to pull those data sources in to your security tools, into your security architecture. So even if your service provider is providing some level of service as a layer above and beyond, you want that end-to-end holistic view into all of those services and exactly what's going on in that environment. So things like API integration, connectors. I mean, Exabeam, for example, right? They're a software intelligence platform. However, they integrate with a lot of different cloud services. So in government now, think about things like Salesforce, think about Office 365, right? Those things are happening. So even this whole notion, which may sound trivial, but I think it's pretty important, is pulling in the logging and the transactional data from those cloud providers into your own environment as a best practice.
And that's a great segue. We're going to talk about that when we come back from the break. But, you know, the visibility into that has been a great concern for a lot of people that consume cloud services. So let's talk about that when we come back. My guest today is Mr. Steve Graywall, current CTO, federal CTO at Cohesity and advisory board member at Exabeam. He has also been the former deputy CIO at GSA and the CIO at the Department of Education. I am Sean Kelly, and this is Cyber Chat on Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network.
For holiday shopping online, don't procrastinate. Done right, online shopping can be good for the environment, not to mention traffic. After all, theoretically, you don't need to drive to the store. But Miguel Joller, an engineer at the University of California, Davis, says his studies show that's only true if we have patience.
When people choose 3, 4, 5-day deliveries, then you can arrange shipments to maximize the use of vehicles.
Joller says it's next day or even faster deliveries that are the problem because it's hard to do that efficiently.
What we have today is many households receiving multiple shipments coming from multiple vehicles.
And worse, many people drive out anyway and window shop, then still order the products they see online.
So overall, we are adding more to the system instead of reducing.
Then there are all the returns. But Joller says all this can be addressed by things like consumer incentives and software advances to improve distribution efficiencies. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network.
Graduates with backgrounds in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, or STEM, are getting the opportunity to shape the future of forensics under the mentorship of leading experts at the FBI laboratory. Fellows of the Visiting Scientist Program perform cutting-edge research in areas specific to law enforcement and national security, such as explosive analysis, DNA, and more. Chief of the Counterterrorism and Forensic Science Research Unit, Gene Peters.
The goal of our research is to give the people who examine the evidence the best science available as well as the most current technologies, tools, and techniques.
Visiting scientist Natalie DeMasso, who has her doctorate in biology, would like to join the FBI after completing her fellowship.
I liked my research to make a difference. And what more can it be if you're working for the FBI and you're helping solve cases? This is amazing.
With FBI This Week, I'm Molly Halpern of the Bureau.
Start your weekday with the Federal Drive. Tom Temin brings you today's news from every corner of government, reports from the Hill, and everything you need to know about your pay and benefits. Hear fresh perspectives on the issues that affect you and your career. Federal Drive to work and be the SME when you get to the office. The Federal Drive with Tom Temin, weekday mornings at 6 on Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network. Ask for the Federal News Network on your Echo device and subscribe to the Federal Drive on iTunes or Podcast One.
Welcome back to Cyber Chat on Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network. My guest today is Mr. Steve Graywall, current federal CTO at Cohesity and sits on the advisory board at Exabeam. He is also the former deputy CIO at GSA and the CIO at the Department of Education. So, Steve, before we went on break, you started talking about looking at logs and access and all that. And look, it is last I heard, you know, I've been out of the federal government now for about a year and a half, almost 2 years. I didn't get that kind of access. I wasn't always given the logs. I wasn't even allowed to go on the floor of where all my data may be for some providers. So how do you get that access? How do you negotiate that?
Yeah, and I think the paradigm has shifted a bit there, right? Early on, I think the concerns by the cloud providers were, you know, if they have to customize services or if they have to make special arrangements for each customer, kind of starts to defeat the purpose of, you know, cloud and the efficiencies there. So I think, you know, from an integration perspective, visibility, monitoring the whole nine yards, if they're able to put approaches in place that are not burdensome for the cloud provider, but, you know, easily consumable by the customer or the federal agency, then you're able to do that. So, you know, REST APIs, things where, you know, they're not necessarily designing in a custom way for the federal population, but they're actually able to provide that visibility, you know, across the board. So not only just federal customers, but I think if you look at the commercial space and you look at kind of cybersecurity best practices in general, you know, across the landscape, though cloud providers are certainly listening more and they're actually more willing to provide you data as long as, you know, because I think the other obvious concern is upstream risk, right? Mm-hmm, depending on what they open up, how they open it up, what is the upstream risk to them? So I think given technology has matured and given they can do some of that exchange of data via different frameworks, right, that paradigm is shifting and there's definitely more of a healthier relationship there.
You know, I know a lot of the conversations I've had with Greg Tuhill when he was the federal CISO was that we should be negotiating these contracts at a federal level. This is the access that we need. This is what is needed to ensure we have compliance, right? Because a big part of federal government, the hammer that we get hit on the head with is compliance.
Yes.
And so are you starting to see those kind of agreements being practiced across the federal, or is it still agency by agency or even department by department?
Sure. So being a GSA, I mean, given the Federal Acquisition Service, right, given their core mission, I totally agree. I think we're, you know, government is much stronger as one voice when it comes to negotiations and contract procurements. I would say that is certainly getting better, but I still think you have a decentralized kind of environment where a lot of individual agencies are negotiating on a one-off basis, which to your point, I think we don't have the leverage where if we, you know, you went in with, you know, government based on the recent estimates of spending nearly $90 billion on technology, right? Microsoft was the classic example. Look at Microsoft ELAs. Imagine what we could do, not only from a terms of service perspective and a requirements perspective, but think about the cost elements. If we could go together, you know, as government, it would be very powerful. I think it's getting better. I think the other challenge is, It's the commitments, right? So a lot of times when you go to a large vendor, entity, or provider, and you know you request certain things, they're looking for some level of commitment from a forecasting perspective, right? So some of the experiences at GSA where I think you get a lot of good interest, you get a lot of people together who want to do things, you know, enterprise contracts and GWACs are put into place, and then you don't really get the follow through. And that, I think, from an industry perspective, kind of sends the wrong message, and you don't get the same level of motivation. So I think it's getting better. The other challenge in terms of doing that in a unified way, I also think, is given the continuum of maturity, right? Some organizations are still legacy. Some are, you know, everything from legacy to bleeding edge. Everybody's kind of at a different point in their journey. Mm-hmm. And given their kind of strategic roadmap, where they want to go, what they want to do, how do you organize and coordinate the timing of those efforts is another challenge.
So let me ask you a question. It's just your experience from GSA and some of my experience as a deputy CIO and a CISO, is that cloud got ahead of us as IT, not as agencies. Yep. And there's a good part of me that feels like it got out in front of us and we lost control of it in the beginning. Yes. IT took the stance, it's not an IT spend because it's a managed service, mm-hmm. and we don't have to be involved.
Yes.
And especially with the SaaS, yes. right? You know, some of those solutions. And so first thing, I think you agree, based on, you know, head nodding and us talking, but how do we regain control of that? How do we bring that back in? Because now we have data out in the fringes,
yes.
and a lot of agencies don't know where it is.
Yes. Yeah, I think you're right. Given the MSSP space, given the outsourcing of some of that, it was definitely spun out of control. But I think now that, you know, we're starting to see some of the consequences of not having centralized control, I think we have to go back and revisit how do you bring that into the fold. So, you know, one of my experiences, even CASB's, right? Early on, you know, mail collaboration services, you know, big push to just move email to the cloud, right? Your authentication and identity management systems weren't integrated. In cases where you even had kind of, you know, you're leveraging things like OAuth for authentication, right? You didn't really necessarily have the visibility, monitoring, and policy control. So I think technologies like CASB and other technologies that actually give you centralized policy control mm-hmm. across that entire ecosystem of SaaS, other cloud services is helping that discussion. But you're right. I mean, and going back to FedRAMP, right? I mean, FedRAMP, again, a lot of industry criticism, very well intended. The idea was to really do it once and, you know, it was a level of effort reducer, right? So we'd have to go back and, you know, go through all that every time. But FedRAMP also was in early stages, right? To your point about the cart before the horse and the sequencing issue, technology moved very fast, a lot of good adoption, but the even FedRAMP compliance and the security controls and tooling to manage all of that came after. So I think we really, organizations should go back and, which is kind of challenging, right? Look at all the dimensions of spend, contracts, relationships, and to really get a better handle on what they're using outside of the perimeter, outside of their physical environment, and then go back and start mapping that to their security architecture on how they're going to bridge the gap on if they don't have visibility, if things are taking place they're not sure of.
Yeah, no, and yeah. You mentioned earlier that you have some organizations that are bleeding edge and some that are still sitting very much in the legacy environments. So how do we address the entire threat surface across both legacy and emerging technologies? How do we make sure that we don't create agencies that are have-nots and the haves?
Yeah.
Because if we don't address it uniformly, we're going to have that.
Yes, yes. And I that's one of the reasons I joined Exabeam and was pretty excited about Exabeam, right? Because, you know, given that we're moving to this multi-hybrid cloud environment, and given that, you know, we are subscribing to the notion of having that architecture, we spend a lot of money in government on what I call traditional defense mechanisms or the known area. Right. So think about things like firewalls, IDSs, IPSs. If you went and benchmarked all of cyber spend, a lion's share goes into that. Again, from a best practices perspective, cyber health and hygiene perspective, we certainly want to focus on that. But I think where the big gap is the unknown area, right? Where you start to get into some of these behavioral aspects, right? How do you baseline normal versus abnormal? And given that even these activity patterns are changing now with cloud and everything else, it's really challenging to do that. So given AI, machine learning, Exabeam's built a really neat platform that gives you not only that holistic view, but then takes things like technical indicators like IOCs and other signature-based tools and what have you, and actually meshes that with the behavioral aspects, right? And gives you near real-time visibility holistically across these environments. So whether you're sitting on a mainframe, whether you're leveraging AWS, whether you're using Google Compute Platform, right? Having that common fabric and visibility across, I think, is the answer. That way, as long as you have that, agencies can move at their own pace.
My guest today is Mr. Steve Graywall, federal CTO at Cohesity and sits the advisory board of Exabeam. He is also the former deputy CIO at GSA and the CIO at the Department of Education. I'm Sean Kelly, and this is Cyber Chat on Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network.
With your Mayo Clinic Radio Health Minute, I'm Vivian Williams. Hand washing is essential for preventing the spread of germs, but sometimes all this scrubbing can cause a rash. Does this mean you're allergic to the soap?
One important thing to differentiate from allergic contact dermatitis is irritant contact dermatitis.
Dr. Don Davis says allergic contact dermatitis means a substance is causing an allergic reaction on your skin, but irritant contact dermatitis means your skin is inflamed from repeated exposure to something.
If I used lye soap on my skin and I used it over and over again, I would develop an irritant contact dermatitis simply from eroding away the natural barrier of my skin with repetitive washing.
Dr. Davis says it's not always easy to tell the difference between an allergy or irritant. So talk to your healthcare provider so you can get on the right treatment. For more information, visit mayoclinic.org.
Two Iranian men are wanted for their alleged roles in the creation and deployment of a sophisticated malicious software that caused more than $30 million in losses to more than 200 victim hospitals, schools, and other entities. The FBI and its law enforcement partners say Farah Mars Shahi Savandi and Mohammed Shah Mansouri hacked into their victims' computers and installed SAM-SAM ransomware, which left data encrypted and business operations weakened. The men demanded ransoms paid in Bitcoin in exchange for decryption keys. FBI Executive Assistant Director Amy Hess.
The criminals believed they were masking their identities on the dark web. However, this case shows that anonymizers may not make you as anonymous as you think you are.
The fugitives conducted their 34-month scheme from inside Iran.
Regardless of where a criminal resides, we will pursue.
Report cybercrime to your local FBI field office and online at ic3.gov. With Wanted by the FBI, I'm Molly Halpern of the Bureau.
This is Jason Miller, executive editor of Federal News Network, inviting you to listen to Views from the Corner Office. Every week, we sit down with industry leaders who influence and impact the federal market. The show is not about the individual company, but about the opinions of the people who lead federal practices on technology, acquisition, and leadership issues. Tune in Fridays at noon on Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network, or subscribe to Views from the Corner Office on iTunes or Podcast One.
Welcome back to Cyber Chat on Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network. My guest today is Mr. Steve Graywall, federal CTO at Cohesity and sits on the advisory board at Exabeam. He is also the former deputy CIO at GSA and the CIO at the Department of Education. Steve, we talked about a lot of things in the last segment, but there's a lot of tools and there's a lot of configurations, and each tool, each provider has their own configuration to do this. But I believe those create blind spots and open us up for cyber attacks. How do we get to a place that that isn't the case and we don't leave ourselves open for those kind of attacks?
Yeah, so great question. I think open standards and technical frameworks where we have commonality is the answer to that. We're talking a lot about information sharing, data ingest, consuming data feeds, even from that perspective, right? As we're looking at the overall ecosystem of technology providers, whether it's cloud or other providers, managed services, and your on-prem tooling, right? You want to make sure that you have those common technical frameworks that are using open standards. So APIs are a great example of that. And I think that's certainly the direction that we have to continue heading in.
No, and I agree. I think we've seen a lot of government customers asking for APIs. How open are the cloud providers to going in that direction?
My experience has been they're actually very open, right? As long as they're not reinventing the wheel. For particular customers, not an increase in level of effort. They're not having to go re-architect their kind of frameworks and enterprise services. They're actually very willing if they see the demand from a customer perspective.
Do you, when you were at GSA and you saw agencies that were doing cloud adoption really well,
yeah,
and then you saw some that may not be doing it as well or just maybe not even doing it, what did you see as the big differences between them?
I think the biggest difference in that scenario you highlighted would be skill sets. Mm-hmm. I think people really understanding how the SOPs are going to differ in the cloud, right? Also given things like infrastructure as code, DevOps, automation, how all of that is changing. I think there certainly was a skill set delta and a learning curve in those two examples, where you had agencies that were adopting cloud well, understood the evolution of cloud and how that would impact their operations. And I think the ones that were still on the sidelines or reluctant or hesitant didn't have a understanding or appreciation for how those changes would impact their organization.
What about when we talk about the providers? So I'm a small company. Again, we started the segment off, or the show off, with talking about companies trying to break into this space. How do companies come to the table for the governments and really help them adopt cloud?
Yeah, I think everyone knows where they are, current state. Everybody kind of knows where they want to go from a target state perspective. I think it's the practical transition conversation, you know, for the providers, right? So it's like, even there's mature workloads. I think a lot of low-hanging fruit around back office functions. We talk about mail and collaboration, a lot of other good SaaS tools out there where you can adopt cloud. Even things like long-term retention, right? For everyone subject to NARA and other requirements, but even this whole notion of pushing data up to the cloud and leveraging commodity storage services like a Glacier or an S3 or a Blob. So I think it's really coming in, understanding the business process, understanding the outcome, and then injecting cloud into the equation on how do you actually go from point A to point B.
Okay. So what is Steve Graywall passionate about? What are you passionate about these days?
I think it's a great question. I mean, I love the security space, of course, and I think a lot about, you know, the last 20 years in federal and kind of where things are headed. And the partnership between industry and government is super exciting. But really, it's a lot to do with what we're talking about today, right? A secure multi-cloud environment. How do we go from aspirational to operational in the federal space? You know, whether you're small, micro, mid, large size agency, what are those steps and what are those technologies and what are the corresponding processes to really implement a hybrid multi-cloud environment that's secure? And, you know, hyper-convergence, I think, is a big part of that. We talked about the partnerships with the cloud providers and the tech companies like AWS, VMware, Nutanix, Google, right? Really, you know, helping that transformation is really what I'm, you know, super excited about.
Well, I want to tell you, I enjoyed today's show. I think we could go for probably another hour easily. My guest today has been Mr. Steve Graywall, federal CTO at Cohesity and sits on the advisory board at Exabeam. And he was also the former deputy CIO at GSA and the CIO at Department of Education. I am Sean Kelly. Thank you for listening. You can follow me on Twitter at Mr. Sean Kelly. We will see you next month.
You've been listening to Cyber Chat with Sean Kelly on Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network. Tune in Friday mornings at 10:30 or subscribe to this show on iTunes or Podcast One.
Hi, this is Sean Kelly, host of Cyber Chat. As a former federal CIO and CISO, I can tell you the threat landscape is a dynamic and evolving matter. My conversations with federal leaders from across the government focus on the latest trends and hottest cyber topics and challenges. Join me for a high-level conversation about how agencies maintain mission security. Tune in Friday mornings at 10:30 on Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network, or subscribe on iTunes and Podcast One.
Federal News Radio is now Federal News Network. All the intel you need, all in one place. Technology.
Ask the CIO.
Defense.
On DoD.
Pay and benefits, breaking news, and daily headlines. On air at 1500 AM. Email alerts, ebooks, videos, webinars, and more at federalnewsnetwork.com.